is to basically have it kind of follow on the heels of the questions that I've been emailed or called about over the past few years from many Einstein alumni and from other places, but the kind of real actual dilemmas that people are running into. We'll see, tonight's is a very ambitious one. It's actually, it's one that is a very, very hypothetical one, but it's a major one that has a lot of kind of ancillary other questions that goes with it. So maybe that'll make it understandable of why I chose to do it first, even though I had second thoughts about it, but it's too late now, so we'll just stick with it. But it covers a lot of ground in terms of good background for all the more specific questions that would come up in the subsequent shiurim that we're going to have. So I just would add that if anyone has anything they specifically are interested in covering, so where are we, in the end of June, so you have the end of June, July, and August, sort of, just bring it to my attention, the sooner the better, and maybe I'm already covering it, because a lot of the questions that I received multiple times from people, and there are some very common issues that come up in the real world. Some of them I'm gonna be offering the Piskei Halacha of the Gedolim, meaning the conventionally very well-known Gedolim, and then the Piskei Halacha of, let's say, the YU community. It's Einstein, right? YU. So some very surprising Piskei Halacha that I'm going to be sharing with you, maybe, from the poskim of YU. Namely, Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, and Rabbi Neuberger, who I heard was here recently, so that's pretty good. So we'll see and get a chance for some feedback. I'm hoping there'll be a lot of give and take, so I hope no one minds if I do this. I'm not obviously quizzing anyone, but my goal is to make this a very pragmatic endeavor, meaning I would love for everybody to come out of here feeling some confidence as they move on and are halakhically committed to do whatever they're going to do, residency, fellowship, and beyond, in the most halakhically responsible way. So before I get into the actual question that I was asked by somebody, and actually I have that question then has with it four others. There's going to be five questions we're going to try to cover today and or next week. It's very important that I, as a background, I wanted to go over the basics. And even though this might seem repetitive for some of you, it's very kedai that it be repeated and be reflexive. Because what I found happens to a lot of people is, you know, they have a very basic understanding or a good basic understanding of a lot of things. And then in the heat of the moment, there's a certain panic that comes in and you forget some of the details. So I want to just go over quickly the following. The chiyuv to take care of a fellow Jew. Let's start with that. Because we're going to be talking about taking care of Jews and taking care of non-Jews. Because obviously we're all going to be doing both of those. And they're different sugyas, and I'm going to try to point out that it's not for any type of chauvinistic reason, but we'll minimize the hashkafa, but we'll have to touch upon that a little bit. But let's start with a Jew, because Jews are easy, right? What's the chiyuv to take care of a Jew? Are you chayev to medically take care of a fellow Jew? This is the easiest question of the night. Yes, of course you are. There's three mitzvahs asay and two mitzvahs los asay. What are they? So that's the most famous los asay, right? And v'ashavosu lo, that's an asay. You'll see why these are important. V'ashavosu lo is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Gimel, where the Gemara discusses the sort of kal v'chomer, if you have a chiv of v'ashavas aveda, mamon, kal v'chomer, the goof of a person. So the Hashavas Aveda means that you have to restore the health of a fellow Jew. And it's a din by Jews and not by non-Jews, right? Because there is no Hashavas Aveda mitzvah by a non-Jew. There is a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda by Jews. What else? V'chay achicha imach. It's a very, very interesting one. That's the She'iltos and the Nitziv. Bring this in. And they say the following. Anyone who's familiar with the famous Gemara, the Kiton Shamayim, Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Bey, is a very, very famous sugya. And it ends off by Rabbi Akiva saying, no, I don't have to give up the Kitor Mayim to save someone else, because v'chay achicha imach, I don't have to, I have to do everything to save him, but I don't have to give up my life. So the emphasis of the Shiltas and the Nativ is, yeah, you got to do everything up to that point. There's a mitzvah saseh that you have to do everything to save him short of your life. And of course, again, that applies to achicha and not to an anjur. V'ahavta re'echa kamocha. That's the Ramban. The Ramban in Torah Adam throws that in. So that's the third mitzvah saseh. V'otam adam re'echa is one lo saseh. What's the other lo saseh? What goes along with v'shavos lo? V'sucha li'salim. Right? There's a lav with it. So those are the two lav and those are the three asays. Great. Now, is there any difference between Shabbos and Chol, legabe those mitzvos? Clearly not. Right? The only thing that happens on Shabbos is that because of the nature of the Isurim, both Darais and Darabanan, certain limitations and parameters are put into play. So this is the thing you really got to be reflexive with. Categorizing the Chola you're dealing with, or close to Chola, right? Categorizing them and knowing exactly what's mutter and usser under each category. Because the hard part's going to be understanding in the intervention you're doing, the therapy you're doing, whatever you're doing, is it a darabanan, is it a daraisa? That's much harder. What should be, you shouldn't be having to spend time on is classifying and knowing the rules within each classification. So let's do this very quickly. Let's see, let me just get a feel for you guys. So what's the lowest category? Michosh Baalma, right? Michosh Baalma means you're healthy, right? You just maybe have a little sniffle, a little nothing. What can you do for that person? Nothing, right? There's an Isser, Isser Refuah. There's no heterim for Michosh Baalma. Mikzas Choli is a little beyond that, right? The only thing you can do for Mikzas Choli is Rabbanan Ayidei Nochri. Not much going on over there with that, right? The real category that's important, and for most of the things we're going to deal with, is Cholish Yesh Basakana. But you know what? It's equally important and underrated. Cholish Ein Basakana. And you'll see why very soon. If you know the rules of Cholish Ein Basakana, you're in very good shape, even for Cholish Yesh Basakana. That's what I'm trying to emphasize, and I'll explain in a moment. So let's just quickly see if everybody knows Cholish Ein Basakana. What am I allowed to do? So it's four shittas. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Four shittas Rishonim. The Torah goes crazy. The Rambam says this. The Rambam says that. The Ramban. All over the place. We, thank God, come to a conclusion. What's our conclusion? The third sheet, the sheet of Torah Ramban. What is it? What are you allowed to do for a Cholish Ein Basakana? So you're allowed to do a Durabanan Oyde Shinoi, right? A Yisroel is allowed to do a Durabanan Oyde Shinoi. What's ahead of that, maybe? Or it's not ahead of that? What's equal to that? Amir and Ochri. So Amir and Ochri, this is what you have to memorize, right? Cholish Ein Basakana, which we're going to have to determine who's in that group in a minute, right? But whoever's in that group, you could do Amir and Ochri. You could do a Yisrael, could do a Durabanan Ayde Shinoi, right? And what's the third thing? Muksa. Muksa is also mutter for Cholish Ein Basakana. Now, those are the popular, well-known, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you know, Mishnah Berurah, you get that. What's less well-known and less popular, but very, very important for us in real life, is the following. There are two exceptional exceptions to limiting it to those three. Let's say stam derabanan, any derabanan. For example, electricity. Electricity is a derabanan. We're going to pass it like Rav Shlomo Zalman, right? That electricity is derabanan. That's a rov poskim hold. It's only derabanan at most. Really, Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's not even a derabanan. It's nothing. We're no egisser, whatever. But rov ha'olam considers it an isser derabanan to use electricity, which we're going to do a lot of out there, right? So it's only a derabanan. Can I do a stam derabanan? So according to my rules, no. Can't, right? So you can, though. You can, because the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes a Chayei Adam that says when push comes to shove, shas hadchak, when you don't have an anochri nearby, which is very often the case, or you don't easily have an anochri nearby, or you don't have the ability to do the specific types of dispensations that you're allowed to do, so he's matir any durabanan for Cholish Ein Basakana. So it's one to know about. It's in your back pocket. We're going to try to develop a nuanced approach of when to put it into play. But it definitely will be put into play. You'll see. And the other one is the other side of that. A deraisa ayide shinoi. A deraisa ayide shinoi. Really, according to the rules, you're not supposed to do that. However, the Shmir Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman, made very popular the idea that, well, let's say with the Egle Tal, the Badei HaShulchan, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, many, many achronim say it's okay, right? They're the losers, but in the end, we're going to use them. Shlomo Zalman says, "Kedayhem lismoch aleihem b'shasatchak," which is going to happen a lot. It's going to be a lot of shasatchak. So again, you could actually do a daraisa b'shinoi if you must, when push comes to shove. And we're going to describe situations like that. So this is the thing I want to make sure everybody knows. So again, summary: Me'ikara din, you're supposed to just do a the rabbanon ayde shvus ayde shinoi, a amir l'nachri or muksa. That's the only things that are mutter for choloshim b'sakana. Under circumstances of need, which in our line of work really happens, it's not so common for people out there to use these heterim, but it is for doctors, you'll see. And it's going to be not only in Chol HaShem B'Sakana that we're going to need this, but you'll see soon that in Chol HaShem B'Sakana is when we're going to use them even more. And the two dispensations are, again, a Deraisa Ayde Shinoi, right? And that's going to be like an otoscope with an incandescent light is an Isser Deraisa to turn it on. So if I do it B'Shinoi, so I'm covered here. There's many oftentimes, or not, that's a little redundant, oftentimes, you're faced with this issue of, you clearly have a Chol HaShem B'Sakana, you want to get a look at something, can I turn on the light or not, what's the best way to do it? We'll get to that exact specific situation, but we're going to be making use of this this principle. Alright, so that's Chol HaShem B'Sakana. Everyone comfortable? Last little bit of background. Chol HaShem B'Sakana. What am I allowed to do for them? Right? Kohen Hevish doch everything, right? Daraisa for sure. Okay. Any limits to it? Anything we need to know? Yeah, there's definitely a lot we need to know. Right? So there's so much more to Chol HaShem B'Sakana. I remember the first time when I was a real rookie, the first time I came to Einstein like 10 years ago. So I spent, you know, I had like 3-4 years to work with or whatever it was. So I spent months just on Chol HaShem B'Sakana. That topic. A lot of hypothetical stuff, a lot of like lumdus. It wasn't really what we will do here. But there is some very important practical things that people don't realize. For example, when I have a situation, who should be the one being Mechalel Shabbos? Who? Let's say I have a Nochri right nearby, and I have me. Who should do it? So Machlokas, very famous Machlokas, Machaber and the Ramah, right? The Machaber says, based on the Rambam, that you shouldn't do it al Yidei Nochri, you should do it Gedolim, Yisrael, Chachamei Yisrael, he even says, Gedol Yisrael v'Chachamei, and there's also some Kirsaus, whole little discussion about that, but the bottom line is, the Rambam, Machaber, are saying that it's like, totally, not necessarily to use a non-Jew, and it's, even if you can, and it's not necessary to do it b'shinoi, even if you can. But the Ramah says both. Right? So, if you're Ashkenazi, any Sephardim here? You can make this easy. Oh, so you can make it hard. That's okay. We'll keep doing both. Alright? The Ashkenazi psak is, you should do it b'shinoi if you can, and you should do it al yidei nochri if you can. What's finesse, what's going to be a little tricky, is there's going to be times where that's applied, and times where it's not applied. When is it obviously not going to be applied? When am I not going to worry about an ochri and not worry about shinoi? Whenever it makes a difference to the patient. Whenever there's a suffix that it makes a difference to the patient. If you have any doubt that the patient will suffer because you're even thinking about getting an ochri or thinking about doing the shinoi, stop thinking. As soon as you're thinking, you should be doing it. Right? It should be no possibility that the patient suffers in making that decision. That's like the Mishnah Berurah even says that. You'll see why I say even the Mishnah Berurah, because he's very machmir on a lot of these things. But he here says that, as he warns several times, don't play around with the Chol HaShem B'Sakana. Alright, that's one thing. The other thing that really comes up a lot are these not yet there sakanos, where you are dealing with a situation of sakanos lefashos, but it's not lefaneinu, right? We all know, right? Autopsy, very famous autopsy, you know, the Yehuda, the Chasim Sofer. Are you allowed to do autopsies? Are you allowed to do autopsies? Such a quiet group. So new? Are you allowed to do autopsies?
No.
Okay. Ever? You should know this is an evolving psak, by the way. You should pay very careful attention. Classically, in the times of Noah Yehuda, Chasim Sofer, they said, well, slippery slope, we better put an end to this. Everything could be pikuach nefesh. If I say, oh, I might get some information from this autopsy, it's going to save someone's life. Oh, it's mutter, right? So they said, no, you need a chol lefaneinu. If you have a chol lefaneinu, then you can start talking about sukkanos nefashos. Right? But until you have a chol lefaneinu, no. So already in the Chazanish's time, that was an inadequate definition. And he said, no, you don't need mamish the chol lefaneinu. Sakana lefaneinu. Right? Just the entity that's dangerous has to be extant, and that's enough to trigger, this is a case of sukkanos nefashos. That's not enough, though, right? There are many, many other situations, numerous, that we're going to be talking about where there's no chol lefaneinu yet, and there's no sakana lefaneinu yet. For example, like one that became very famous for a funny discussion between the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Shlomo Zalman was turning off the car. When you go, let's say you have an emergency and you drove in appropriately to this emergency, can you turn off the car? Anyone ever have an emergency where you drove a car? Not yet. Anyone like have a pregnancy, a delivery on a Shabbos or something? You had the taxi all set. Everybody was calm, right? I don't know. Our first kid, not Gav, but our first kid, I had one shot after Gav. So I was a very inexperienced person. I was in the middle. I was in medical school. I was taking a final. And it was before there were phones or anything like that. And I was taking a final with this woman, I think, hated children. I'm positive she hated children, right? So I'm sitting there taking the final, and, you know, I see the secretary come in from her office, and she's looking around, and I'm, like, taking my final, looking up, and I'm thinking about my wife, who's due, right? And she comes over to me, Apfel? I go, yeah. Your wife's said that it's time to come home. I, you know, threw the final, flung it across the room, got into my car, went down one-way streets the wrong way, all the way, and about 26 hours later, we had our baby. It was unbelievable. But sometimes it's more bahul than that, right? The reason I said she hates children is she threatened to fail me. Can you imagine that? I said, I had a baby. I'm sorry, it's a final radiology. You have to give me a break. But anyway... The case of turning off the car is there's no purpose in terms of the chola of turning off that car. What's the heter for turning off the car? What's the iser? Mechabe, right? Being mechabe. So what allows me to do this? Now it's a malacha shenesuich legufa, right? Everyone knows what that is, right? It's a high level derabana. It's an iser derabana, but it's aser. What allows us to turn off the car? What? Right, so that would clearly do it. If you're going to run out of gas, right, which is the MS probably what really does happen, as opposed to what Shlomo Zalman is going to say in a minute, but is what really happens if you leave a car running, I think it just runs out of gas, right? And then it's done. So that might be a reason to turn it off if you think Mishum Sakanas Nefashos. But is that Sakanas Nefashos around in existence? No. It's a very hypothetical thing. Is there a Chol lefaneinu, a sakana lefaneinu. So you're right, but what's triggering that? How's that working, right? And what Rav Shlomo Zalman says is even a little more amazing. He said he was told it's going to explode, right? And that's what Tzitz Eliezer starts saying. What are you talking about? Your mechanics don't know what they're talking about. It's not going to explode, right? And they have this whole argument, but what they have a real argument about are cases like this. For example, the kid with this is like I would say. 30% of my Shabbosos, both in Eretz Yisrael and in America, are going to see kids with ear infections. Right? So, what do you do? What do I do? You get called because the kid is complaining that there's a pain in the ear. Right? What do you do? Now, what are the options?
Nothing.
Do nothing. Now, why might it be dangerous? Well, everyone in fourth year. All right, you gotta be experienced something. What's the hypothetical concern of an otitis media?
Spread.
And end up with meningitis, right? Death, meningitis. Those are pretty bad. Sakanas nefashos. How likely is that? Is it reported? Absolutely. Is it a real entity? Yes. If you read a textbook in pediatrics, you'll see it. You'll say, yo, the complications are da 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 da. One in a million, one in a billion, whatever the numbers are. So, does that make this situation, so kind of, I turn on my light and look at his ear? So how do you decide these kind of cases? And there's going to be many, many. You're on call. This happens to me all the time. I always have a disagreement with my wife. She says, don't pick up the phone. I say, I'm picking up the phone. I'm on call. It's happened many times, in my view, that they're not getting through to me on my beeper. I have to pick up that phone if I'm getting called. Now, maybe she's right, maybe she's wrong, but how do we decide whether there is the possibility enough of sakanas nefashos that I can pick up that phone? So machlokes between the Tzitz Eliezer of Oldenburg, the Binyan Sion, versus Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter holds like Rav Shlomo Zalman on this. Anyone know what I'm referring to? This is a very important machlokes to know. I guarantee you, you'll use it multiple times, the psak. We'll start with the Tzitz Eliezer. His opinion to me is, in the real world of medicine, dangerous. He says, holchin achar rov, right? Normally we say, ain't holchin achar rov b'sakanas nefashos, right? It's the Tosfos in Yuma, Perek Hey. We don't go according to the rov, in sakanas nefashos, right? However, the Tzitz Eliezer says, that's only when there's a chol lefaneinu. If there's no chol lefaneinu, if it's any one of these hypothetical type of situations where we're worried about a sakana may happen, then we use rov. So he would say, if rov kids who don't get treated properly for the otitis media end up with meningitis, then I could be mechal shabbos daraisa. Otherwise, I can't. If rov times that phone is a sakana nefashos case, I could pick it up. If rov times the car is going to explode, or if rov times I'm going to need it for another thing, then and only then, for those kind of cases, would I be able to? Now, for those that hold like the Tzitz Eliezer, here's one of the reasons you got to know Chol HaShem B'Sakana. What he does say is that even though you can't treat it like a Chol HaShem B'Sakana, you could treat these cases like a Chol HaShem B'Sakana. So you could definitely do, even according to the Tzitz Eliezer, in those kind of cases, all the types of derabbanans we were talking about. Most people paskin like Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Shechter. And what do they say? Very, very simple. And this is like the guiding rule. If there's one rule you take away from today, this is a very practical, useful rule that you'll use all the time. On all the scenarios where the sakana is just a potential sakana, you know, and in medicine, there's thousands and thousands. You'll see as we go through actual clinical cases, I'm going to point out that, here we go, here it is again, right? You say to yourself like this, how would I react to this situation on Tuesday? However you would react on Tuesday is going to determine what it is. So what's one of the famous shilas? Are you allowed to study medicine on Shabbos, right? Or are you allowed to become a doctor if you're a Kohen? Are you allowed to do the study of medicine if it's going to take you away from Talmud Torah, right? All these type of shilas come down to this question, well, I could do all these things that are normally usher, right? Because of pikuach nefesh. Really? Would you pursue the study of medicine as sakanas nefashos on Tuesday? You would say, oh my God, I better get out my anatomy text because some patient's going to die if I don't read this anatomy text today. No, you're not going to do it that way. It won't never be that bahul. In that sense, you don't think of it as a sakanas nefashos case. But if you would react that way, and this is what I keep telling my wife, if I'm on call and on Tuesday, I jump at the phone, right? Because I'm worried, because enough times it's happened. And therefore, I've determined for myself that this warrants me picking it up on Shabbos. Now, if it were true that, you know, 9 out of 10 times, or whatever the number, I feel like I'm not reacting on Tuesday as though this is a potential sakanas nefashos, that would affect my thinking on Shabbos. Everyone, this is a really important thing to get down. This is one that's very, very pragmatic. It's going to be used all the time, right? It's kevin d'dashu b'rabim shom b'psam b'shem. That's what this is built on. That there is a din that you're not supposed to put yourself b'sakana. So how do I go skiing? Which Rosh Hashanah says you can't do. How do I do all these various semi? How do I fly in an airplane or walk across the street or I don't know. I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say. All sorts of dangerous things that God's involved in. How do you do these things? The way you do it is you say kevan d'dashu b'ravim shomer b'sam b'shem. Now, in God's case, kevan d'dashu b'ravim probably does not apply. But either way, that is the building block for this very fundamental rule. So, absolutely want to emphasize it.
So, what if you would do something on Tuesday? So, to just message, you don't want to.
That doesn't count. Definitely doesn't count.
That seems like that would be a practical thing. Where in the hospital, they would expect you to do a certain day to check for a certain whatever case, which is highly unlikely.
You're gonna have to figure out a way to do it without being over on a siddharaisa, and we'll see. We're gonna go through that because we're gonna really get into a lot of things they make you do, especially in residency. Residency is the toughie, right? We're talking about Shomer Shabbos residencies or not Shomer Shabbos residencies. So, you know, we're gonna be very realistic about it, and we'll see. You know, for example, writing notes that are for billing purposes when you're clearly doing it for billing purposes, which we'll get to. We'll get to in a minute. The final thing in terms of Sakanas Nefashos, another rule that's very important is ancillary needs of a Chol Sheish B'Sakana. Everyone know what I mean by that? Right? Technically speaking, Mikra Din, the only thing you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos Midaraisa for, according to the Ramah, here we go, Ramah versus Machaber again. The Machaber Paskins, like the Magid Mishnah, which is that when you have a Chol Sheish B'Sakana, a real one, you can do anything they need. Even if the thing you're doing for them has no bearing on their illness, will not make them worse or better. But it's just a need they have. So according to the Magid Mishnah, and Machaber Paskins this way, everything goes, right? You could do whatever they need to give them peace of mind or put them at ease or just they need it. They want it. Even though it has nothing to do with affecting their illness. The Ramah does not Paskin that way. The Ramah says you cannot do that. You can only do things in terms of Isurei Daraisa that are mamish related to the Sakana. What do I do with all those ancillary things? So here's another one where the Ramah, where the Psakis and Shmir Shabbos, you treat them like a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana. Right? So the ancillary needs of a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, according to the Ramah, according to the Ashkenazic mainstream approach, you treat that like Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, which means Amir al-Nachri, again, Shinoi Rabbanan, Muksa, and Shasat Chak, those other two. Shinoi Daraisa or Stam Darabban. Okay. All that's the background. Now let's get to the actual emailed question. All right. So we'll finish this up next week. Don't worry about it. Question.
Quick question. According to the Tzitzel Yezer, so we said that if there's a hypothetical Sakana then go by Rove, so is that Rove assuming there's no medication? In other words, the chances of meningitis developing if you don't treat the ear infection, I don't know.
Right, so that's, by the way, that was my, I think you're getting at what was my original approach before I got smart. Nothing personal. I just said, let's start antibiotics. Right, without looking? Yeah, that's a bad medical move. Don't do it. What ends up happening is, lo aleinu, you can get a partially treated meningitis. Right? If you give an oral antibiotic to someone who's going to end up having a fulminant meningitis, you're just made a horrible case because you'll miss the meningitis, but it's going to still get going because you'll never fully treat. There's a reason we admit, do a full sepsis workup, and give IV antibiotics because oral antibiotics are not sufficient for it. Now, it's true it's sufficient for an otitis media, but you're also going to be masking a strep, and it's not good medical practice. That's why that's not a good idea. Even though I used to do it. That was my first resolution. Then I said, you know what, let me learn Hillel Shabbos better, and I'll stop doing that. So, because there are many options that we're going to get to in terms of ways to do that. One was, you know, to send the person to a doctor instead of you having to do it. But you could do Shinoi Daraisa for Chol Sheish Bo Sakana when you have to. Right? All right.
But I don't know what you were like getting at, but for a lot of these questions, it's a question of if, you know, you want to calculate a growth. Is it growth by I never take activity, or growth by I take activity at the end of Shabbos?
Right.
You know,
no. Rove is like this, that in this scenario, right, of a child who's complaining of an ear infection, right, or ear pain, whatever, the parents are suspecting an ear infection, has a fever or tugging at the ear, whatever the scenario might be, in each case, he would say, before I'd let you do a daraisa in those kind of cases, you would need to tell me that rove times, this ends as a sakana. Rove occurrences of this scenario end with sakana if you don't intervene. If that's true, you can intervene with a daraisa.
But if it's something like some sort of infection that if you don't treat it with any medicine at all, then it can develop into something that's eventually people have
to. Yeah, that would be the rov. In other words, assuming you're going to do good medicine, which means don't treat until you have a diagnosis.
Right.
Then you're going to end up saying that without antibiotics, what's going to be the outcome?
Is without antibiotics ever, or without antibiotics until the end of Shabbos?
Till the end of Shabbos. Right, till the end of Shabbos. In other words, because then you could, right. In other words, what's compelling you to act right now? That's the way you're looking at it. I better act right now because rove times if I don't, right? Now, this case it's very interesting. If you ask me, it's like almost unheard of that this happens, right? Most people wait. Most parents, wait it out. There's one very famous case, very, very famous Talmud Chacham doctor that happened in his family. That's why it's always a very sensitive example. It happened to them. It was an untreated otitis. And the kid ended up with meningitis, ended up devastated. It was a horrible, horrible thing. It's the only case I ever heard of in my entire life. It's a very rare thing. So I would say it is not rove, for sure. Now, would I approach on Tuesday? That's what I say to myself. It's Tuesday. I have this kid. Am I going to say to the parents, oh, you better get looked at right now? No, I'll say, let's take a look. Give him some Tylenol. Let's see if the fever goes away. See how he feels. You can come in. Most doctors will say that. You can come in tomorrow morning. Right? Once it's like that, the scenario is played out like that. It just lost its status as the Sekanas Nefashos, according to Shlomo Zalman and Rav Shechter and the Iker Shita.
What if it's Sekana, not necessarily like death, but let's say risk of developing some sort of disability?
Oh, Sekanas Aver. Right, we skipped that one. Thank you. Sekanas Aver means, by the way, a permanent deficiency in function. Right? It doesn't mean you're cutting off, and certainly doesn't mean you're losing the limb altogether. But it also doesn't mean you're fully losing function. It's considered Sekanas Aver if you'll have less function than you had. Any degree, but on a permanent basis. And the halacha is very interesting. Lechatchila, any derabanan. You don't have to make any cheshbonos at all. All derabanans are open territory. That's the Ikar Adin. If you look in the Shin Chaf Ches Yud Zayin, that's what it says over there. Right? But Lemaisa, unless you're 100% positive, this is not Sekanas Nefashos. And most Sekanas Aver, I'm telling you, are, right? Modern medicine will tell you many of these. They used to say, in Shmir Shabbos even, he's machalik between a open fracture and a closed fracture. So that would be ridiculous to a doctor, I think. Most doctors would say, a closed actual fracture is also potential Sekanas Nefashos, that you could view it that way. Now, if you could get away very rapidly with just doing Amir L'Nachri and stuff like that, great. But I wouldn't have any hesitation in those kind of cases. Really, it would be a sprain that I would call Sekanas Aver, a bad sprain. Anything that's a fracture where there's blood and ecchymosis, right? Everyone knows what ecchymosis is, right? Black and blue on the, Black and blue on the external, on the that you see on their leg, is really going to be potential Sekanas Nefashos. But the rule for you at any stage of the game, and whatever you're dealing with, is if you have a suffix, whether this is Sekanas Aver or Sekanas Nefashos, Shita, it's Sekanas Nefashos. Never, ever take a chance. It's going to be the rarest case to get a pure Sekanas Aver case. And Sekanas Aver, by the way, is internal and external. Right? So kidney function, liver function, whatever the organ is that might have some permanent damage to function, you have to consider Sekanas Aver, but usually it's going to be Sekanas Nefashos too.
In the case of an ear infection,
one of my grandkids, I'm embarrassed to say, has had 3 perfs of his ear, right? I don't know. He's hearing fine, but I keep worrying about it. He doesn't complain. He's a stoic. He's like, all right. Let's get to the real case. So any other questions on the background stuff? In other words, it's is it tending to this at this moment with a daraisa? I must do it. Why? Because if I don't, according to Eliezer, it better be that rove times, if I don't do this now, within the span of Shabbos, then I'm going to have a Sekanas Nefashos problem. And which seems unbelievable, right? And Rav Shechter and Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that if I don't do that, that I would have that same sense on a regular day of the week, that same sense of urgency to get in on this right away within the time of Shabbos, that allows it to be Sakharis Nefashos. Otherwise, it's not. Wait, why would you say that?
Remember, a couple of cases actually.
An otitis case is Sakharis Nefashos?
Sorry?
You're saying.
In other words, this illness is the Sakharis Nefashos. This is Sakharis Nefashos. I can wait till tomorrow always, and treat it then. So that, no, it's not Sakharis Nefashos to treat right now.
Oh.
This is Sakharis Nefashos, so like an infection.
Thank you. You reminded me that's another example. You'll see of where we're going to actually treat it like a Kolshein B'Sakharis. In other words, let's say you have a case. Right, we talked about ancillary needs of a chola, right? So I can't be Machal Shabbos Deraisa for those, for Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana. I can only do Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana things. The corollary to that, I think this is what you're talking about, is somebody who has a real critical need, but I could wait till after Shabbos. Right? It doesn't need to be done right now. There's like an hour or so left till after Shabbos, I could wait. So the Mikra Adin, you're not supposed to be Machal Shabbos for that. Right, this is a toughie. It's a toughie to really do, and very toughie to be sure of. So when you're in doubt about this, do not take a chance. If there's any possibility that hour is going to be critical, don't take a chance. I'm going to always talk this way, by the way. Get used to it. The worst thing in the world is to come away ever being machmir on Sakharis Nefashos. Don't do it. Be mekel. Right? Every doubt, treat l'kula. I'm telling you, you have to do that. In this case, though, if you are sure, and there will be, I'm going to give you examples of scenarios where we have a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, a guy in the ICU, they're all Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana in the ICU. You're taking care of the patient in the ICU, and definitely need something. You know, he's a DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis, and he's going to need to have his insulin regulated a certain way. And in order to do it, you're going to have to do some kind of IV placement, which is in Isser Daraisa, to put an IV is an Isser Daraisa. And you're saying, well, I could do it now, or I could do it an hour from now, 2 hours from now. So you should wait. If it's true medically that you could really wait, even though this is a critical need of this patient, which would result in his death if you didn't do it, but since it could wait, you should wait. However, you could do whatever you need as a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana. You treat him as a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, Lagabe interventions right now. All right. I think that covers all the background. Which is like, all right, half the time. That's good. It's all very important stuff. Anyone who's not getting it all in, these are things that are going to be coming back repeated over and over when we really start doing cases. But first, let me tell you the question that was actually asked to me, and really the five questions that were asked to me. The first one is a very complicated question. It's on this handout. And you have to have a lot of background to really understand what the questioner is asking here. He obviously learned the sugya. I'm going to assume that most of the people here did not learn the sugya. Right? But the question basically is this. Is it mutter to be a doctor in the United States of America? That's the question. Because as the argument, and we'll see how this develops, it's possible that you shouldn't be a doctor. Why? Because you're putting yourself in a position where you're ultimately, very likely, karov levadai, if not vadai, and we'll see, right? If you view it that way, you're going to use pikuach nefesh to be docha yisurim. And you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put yourself in a position, necessarily, right? We'll see, where you are going to end up using pikuach nefesh to be docha yisurim. What gives you a right to do that? So therefore, the question was, and this question is being asked of, as we speak, hopefully Rav Asher Weiss is working on it, right? We're going to work on it. Well, hopefully we'll see if we come together. But how could it be? How could it be? I mean, we all know we're allowed to be doctors, right? We're all doctors. Or got to be doctors. So this is a hypothetical question that opens up very interesting areas that have lots of practical ramifications. That's why I went with it as the opening topic. Some of the issues that relate to this. Do I have to do a Shomer Shabbos residency? Right? That's going to be a big question for everybody. There's not a single person who's not going to have to deal with that. Because, you know, either you're going to deal with it because you want to go to a decent residency and the Shomer Shabbos ones that are left, or they're not that many and they're not so great, and you could go to a much better one that's not Shomer Shabbos, Right? There's a lot of reasons to ask that question. And it relates to this. The other questions, and this is one of the ones where the Rosh Hashiva from YU, who I talked this over with, blew me away with his response to this. I'll give you two sequential questions. One person called me up and said, look, I'm on call, and this is the way, when I was a fellow in cardiology, this is the way my calls worked. I was on call from outside. I could go home, carry a beeper, and I'm on call. The likelihood of me being called in for Sakanas Nefashos was extremely high. Out of all my calls, 95% of them I got called in. Is it okay for me to go home? I know 95% chance I'm going to be called in. Maybe I should have to stay there. Right? Now, just for full disclosure, I had 9 calls as a first year, 5 calls as a second year, no calls as a third year, for a total of 14. So I stayed in. It wasn't such a big deal. Guy calls me just about a month ago. Or no, it'd be more than that because it was in the winter. 50 to 60% of the time he would end up in the hospital away from his family on Shabbos if he stayed in. And he is closer to 99% that he's going to need to be called in. Does he have to stay in the hospital or not? That was the question. Right? We'll have to see. Finally, the other question is, what type of preparations? Let's say I'm on call on Shabbos, right? Now, if you're going to get a Shomer Shabbos residency, great. The odds of getting it as a fellowship, very small. Depending on, I don't know too many fellowships that give Shabbos, right? There are a few here and there. They're not necessarily going to be the best programs. And in fellowship, you really want the best program. But certainly when you're in attending, sooner or later, you're going to be on Shabbos, right? Most of us. So, halavai, we should be zochet to not have to be on a Shabbos here in America, but I don't know too many people that get that schus. So, what type of preparations do I need to make? How much trouble do I have to go to in anticipation of what's going to happen? Like, for example, when I was a fellow and I was on those Shabbosos, so I knew I had post-op patients, I had post-cath patients, they're going to need, like, dressings and all sorts of blood tests. Do I have to go to the trouble of preparing all that stuff ahead of time, or can I go with the flow as the Sakanas Nefashos issue raises itself, and just depend on Pikuach Nefesh being Doche Yisur. Hear the Shaila? It's a good one. This is a very commonly asked question, right? So all of these are going to be answered by what we're going to start to do right now, methodically, and ultimately the biggie is that question that has all that very interesting Makoros that we're going to be seeing. Right now, if you tried to read this, many of you would probably have a lot of difficulty understanding what he's talking about, but we're going to go through everything he's talking about. So, I want to open up the following question. Why would I have a Havamina that I need to anticipate Pikuach Nefesh? Why don't we just say, go with the flow? What's the Havamina to all of these? It's the common denominator of all these questions. Why do I have to be concerned this way? Why would I think that I need to be? Why don't I just say, look, Pikuach Nefesh is Benoch HaShabbos, end of story. Right? Everyone hear what I'm asking? So, somebody answer me. Yes, exactly. Excellent. Right? Everybody knows the difference between Dechuy and Hutra. Right? Here's the famous Gemara in Yuma, and the Bava Mabez, it's on the first page. Just take it outside quickly and explain the concepts. Right? When we say that certain things are allowed, certain Yisurim are allowed under certain conditions, right, there's really three ways that operates. Dechuy, Hutra, or Lonemra. Lonemra means that it's a very special group, we're not going to get into it, we don't have time. But Dechuy and Hutra are very different mechanisms. When we say something is dechuya, we're saying when push comes to shove, the thing's still aser, but only when efshar be'inyan acher are you allowed to do this iser under these conditions. But whatever you can do to avoid it, you should do it. You must try to avoid the situation. You have to be matriach yourself to avoid needing to be over on that iser, even b'makom dehet. Right? Classic example of this is cooking on Yantip, Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, right? There's a very famous Machlokes Rishonim, Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, is it Dechuya, Hutra, Lonemra, right? Rashi says it's the Dechuya, which is how the Ramah, there he goes again, Paskins, the Chumrah. We Paskin this way on Yantip, that if you have, let's say, are you allowed to bake challah on Yantip? Only if it tastes better, if you bake it fresh, but if you could have made it, and it would be just as good, which is, with challah is a good example where it's okay, right? Because that usually needs to be fresh. But anything that you could have done the day before, you're not allowed to do, cooking-wise on Yom Tov, because it's Techuya. You have to do everything you can. Now, if there's a qualitative difference, then you're allowed to. Pikuach Nefesh, the Gabi Shabbos, is Techuya. Once we say that, that opens up now this issue. It isn't just Stam, you could just blanket, not worry about anything, I'll just use Pikuach Nefesh. Now you have to be concerned. Concerned, Ad Kidei Kach, maybe even, that I shouldn't become a doctor. Right? My famous Rav Shechter story, right? Alex has heard it, I think. Is when I was grappling with Shomer Shabbos residency, Shiloh, and I went to Rav Shechter to hash it out with him. So he says to me, he had a very strong sheet, and he pulled in this point. It's one of his upfront points. He says, look, you can't, under certain conditions, which we'll understand soon better, just be Machal Shabbos because it's Pikuach Nefesh when you know about it ahead of time. You can't do it. So I said to him, I can't do it, but then I shouldn't be a doctor because sooner or later I'm going to be Machal Shabbos. So he said, Eirach HaNami. Yeah. So, okay. And then his son walked in with his little doctor kit, which was very funny. But why, obviously, are we none of us holding that that's true? Right? We're all becoming doctors here. Right? Why not? Okay, so we'll have to see. But because of Dechuya, all these things come up. Dechuya means, if I know I'm going to have to open up dressings and do various things, then I should prepare it to the max in order to avoid ever using Pikuach Nefesh as an excuse for doing the Aver. So the truth is, nowhere in Shas is this issue discussed. There is no Gemara that discusses this problem. The first one to mention is the Sefer HaChassidim. On page 2, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, where he says it in a very famous context where to this day people are very machbid on it, which is a woman in the 9th month of pregnancy. A woman in the 9th month of pregnancy should be preparing, right? Anyone who's been through this knows, you know, you get the money ready for the taxi, and you get the taxi ready, and you get all the things you need, right? And that's what the Sefer Hasidim says, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, the Halacha, Shemir Shabbos does with many, many nafkaminas. Right? All on page 2. You could just read them at your leisure, but basically, he's telling me that I should prepare all these things. He's even making a suggestion that you should make little personal codes, like little personal things, like to indicate things that you can use instead of writing. Do whatever you can to avoid writing. And I'll give you an example of one I did, actually, which is, aside from I got all my dressings ready, I even got Band-Aids open, I got everything I could possibly think of that I could need. I got it ready, right? And then, for the notes, I had to write like 60 notes on a Shabbos, right? Now, none of these were at all related even to Sukkot Tefashos. That was part of the problem. The only use of these notes was billing. They were stupid notes that told nobody anything, right? Does that still go on? We'll see. We'll talk about it. That's our first real major topic next time. Is going to be writing. But what I used to do is I wrote out all my notes before my call. Now you might wonder, how could I do that? I don't even know who my patients are. No, you get sign out. And what I would do is basically the billing note was your sign out. Was basically what it was anyway. And all the residents did this. And all the fellows did it. You wrote the whole note out. Right? Don't pick up any bad habits from me. But if it's for billing, everybody's happy. Right? The administration of the hospital is happy. The patient can care less. The attending's happy. You're happy. Right? So it was either that or 60 notes after Shabbos. Right? Now, if there was ever a need for communication, you got to be, you know, then you don't fool around. Right? If there's a patient communication, if there's a patient information that will have relevance to the patient, this is why if you want to be a good halachic doctor, you got to be a good doctor too. You got to realize what is essential that you need to put into the chart that maybe someone will actually look at. And nowadays, the computer, right? Which we're going to talk about. A computer is very different. Life's much easier. The whole, I revamped everything I knew about Ksiva for this because computers changed everything. So anyway, on page 2, he says that. Now, how far do you have to go? Do I have to go as far as, for example, he says in one of these halachos, the Shmir Shabbos says the following, Rofe Toran, a person who's on call, Shinimsa Sham Chola Sheishpo Sakana, and you're, let's say, in the ICU, you're taking care of patients in the ICU. Alo lazov es pesa cholim, beta cholim le beta. You're never allowed to leave the hospital. If you are taking care of patients that are potentially going to be besakana, so the Shmir Shabbos says you can't leave. Well, what if I call from home? Why can't I leave? Well, you can't leave because in order for you to come in, if you get called, right, here's the answer to that shaila, right? You can't go home, right? Is that really true, right? Well, it's dechuya, so it should be true. Comes along Rav Shlomo Zalman on page 3, and this will do very fast, and he develops an incredibly fascinating chiddush that he applies to Lach Lamaisa that changes everything and makes life much easier. He basically says the following. He says, you do not need to go crazy to avoid using the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos. You don't need to go crazy. In other words, even whenever the Sefer Hasidim and the Mishnah Berurah talked about getting prepared maximally, it's just something that was roi v'kach. It wasn't a real isser. It has no source in the Gemara. There is no real be'etzim chiyuv to do this. It's just a nice thing to do. But if it's a major tircha, you don't have to do it. What's the example he's giving? He says the following. Let's say he's talking in his tshuva about the following case. There's a person who has zecholer needs a light, needs some kind of light, right, to be able to see for interventions, whatever it is. You have a choice. You can turn on the light, do an isur daraisa, because pikuach nefesh is doche isur daraisa, or you could wake up the resident who's sleeping that has a light. What should you do? He has a lit lighter in it. There'll be no chilul Shabbos. I, right here, can turn on the light. What should I do? So Shlomo Zalman says, you should turn on the light. Don't wake up the guy. You don't need to be matriach him or anyone or yourself to avoid having the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh doche Shabbos, right, be in effect. He learns this from a very famous Ramah. The Ramah is in the context of Tumas Kohanim. It's worthwhile knowing this case. The Ramah, which is the source of Rosh Shlomo Zalman's whole Chiddush, is saying the following case. There is a Kohen who has an Issur D'Oraisa to be Matama the Mace, and there's a Mace Mitzvah. So somebody's got to bury this Mace Mitzvah. The Kohen has two choices. He can hire some guys, right, spend some money, or be metame himself and be over on the Avera. What does the Ramah say to do? Be metame yourself and be over on the Avera. You're not required. Malkum meis mitzvah, the mitzvah of taking care of the meis mitzvah, which is doche, tumas kohanim, is big enough that you're not required now, and even if it's dechuya, you're not required now to have to spend money. You can be metame yourself. And based off that Ramah, which is coming out of Gemara Yevamos and all the Rishonim, the Pe'echad, no one disagrees with this halacha. Rav Shlomo Zalman develops his halacha. Why is it important? Because of page 4, 5. On page 5, everything gets turned around. He tells you all the kulas that come out of this. For example, he says that in the case where you have a chol sheyesh bo sakana, and it's 98% that you're going to get called in, but you're going to be missing Shabbos after Shabbos with your family, go home. You don't have to stay in the hospital. Because the mitzvah rabbah of pikuach nefesh being docha isurim is so significant because it says v'chai b'hem, right? He says v'chai b'hem is really emphasizing this concept. It's such a big mitzvah. You are not chayev to have to do things that are tircha yisera and go out of your way. You don't have to set up 30 otoscopes and let each one run out because, you know, oh my God, I don't want to keep turning them on and off. No, you don't have to do that, he says. Right? All based on the same principle. It's got some very interesting applications. Another one on page 6 is, what if you're, this is a famous machlokes, what if you're on call, or there's a call schedule being made up, and somebody, this happened in medical school, where you're not supposed to have to be on Shabbos, certainly in Einstein, I would assume so, but somebody called me from a different medical school, where they were in a group of 4 people, and someone had to be on Shabbos for surgery, right? So I said to him, I said, you know, you don't have to be on Shabbos in medical school. It's, you know, U.S. law, they can't do it, right? He says, no, I want to do it. I want to be nice. My problem is, there's a non-firm Jew, and he's going to have to be on. So is it okay for me to make sure that I'm not on, even though it's going to result in him being on? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, of course, not. He said, you should do it, right? We'll see what Rav Moshe says. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, don't give it to the non-from Jew. You should do it. You're doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh, Doch Yisurim, is a mitzvah rabba. Be happy doing it. And don't, you're going to tell me that you're going to do this guy a favor by having him working in the hospital, like Rav Moshe says, instead of out there being Mechal Shabbos. You're not doing him any favors. He held it was Lifnei Iver. He held that if you do Chilul Shabbos, B'makom Pikuach Nefesh, without kavana that Pikuach Nefesh is operating here, it doesn't work.
Now, is the third year really doing the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh in the third year?
The medical student. Yeah. Right, so I think it was a sub-internship in his fourth year, and he was. Right? They were. They were acting as doctors. Sub-interns do that. I don't know about Einstein. Yeah? Probably. No?
Yeah. And
they make you feel like you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is this stock different than what it says on page
2
that the
doctor on the policy model? Right, so it's the footnote to that. In other words, if you go back to page 5, right? But first look at page 2, right? Page 2 was Chav Beis. So now look at Samech Dalid on over here, which is the second paragraph. So that shita is whose shita, which I was about to introduce, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein totally disagrees with this whole chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And this is what we're going to have to deal with, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein looks at Dechuya very differently than Rav Shlomo Zalman does, and he's the one who paskins the chumra, and then the footnote adds, Rav Shlomo Zalman, by the way, looks at this lakula. Now, what does Rav Moshe say? So that is on page 7. He says the following. He says, you know, Shabbos is the chuyu. Pikuach Nefesh is the chuyu. What's the nafkamina, right? It's going to be very, very limited what the nafkaminas are. Because even though it's the chuyu, we're going to tell you, do whatever you can to save this person's life. It's not your normal, every average day, the chuyu, right? Clearly for Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's not. And for Rav Moshe, it's not also, but in a different way. He says, it only means one thing. The fact that Shabbos is the chuyu, not hutra, means you must do everything you can to avoid being in the position of being Mechal Shabbos using Pikuach Nefesh. And what that leads to is all these chumras, including the fundamental one, right, that how on earth can you become a doctor, right? That's a real problem right now, according to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, Dechuya means that don't let your phone number be listed, you know, close the shades, don't let anyone know you're home. You got to, like, be unnoticed and not allow yourself to be called into situations on Shabbos. Dechuya means you got to do everything you can to avoid Chilul Shabbos. It means that always he's putting you in the hospital. You got to stay in the hospital whenever there's like a likely possibility that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. You're going to need to be coming in. Even B'makom Pikuach Nefesh, Rav Moshe is very different than Rav Shlomo Zalman. So at the end of the day, what happens when you finished analyzing these two shitas, you say, well, let's say all my patients were Jewish. That's what we're assuming right now. We haven't touched non-Jews yet. But if all my patients were Jewish, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I could still be a doctor. Why? Because even though I'm going to ultimately use Pikuach Nefesh to be Dochi Surim, no problem. It's a mitzvah rabba. And despite the fact that it's Dechuya, still, the Yisod is V'chaibahem. That it's not something you need to avoid. 99% that you're going to do it, you don't have to avoid it, you can go into it all the way. Rav Moshe, it sounds like, would have a problem. Rav Moshe would say, you're not allowed to. If you're not allowed to in any way allow yourself, it's the chuyah. Your push comes to shove, you have to be matrich yourself, right? Even if it means sleeping in the hospital, even if it means not theoretically not becoming a doctor altogether, you can't just allow yourself to use Pikuach Nefesh to be Dochi Yisur.
It sounds like Rav Moshe has a limit on
that. He does.
He says,
right, so where's the give?
There must be a case in which you're allowed to become a doctor, but obviously, you have to try to switch. You know, so there has to be some line that he's drawing.
Why does he allow us to take care of Jews, right? Right now we're still talking about Jews. You'll see the dynamic changes completely when we start talking about non-Jews. But right now, simple Jews, I still don't quite understand it. According to the natural conclusion of Moshe's principles, it should be a problem. But why is it not? It's not because of page 8 and 11-12. What's going on over here? There is a very fascinating principle. It's introduced in the Gemara Nedarim by the Ran. It's really a Yushalmi. It says the following. Lo mikol Adam zocha lerafos. Which means the following. That there is an idea that once a doctor is designated, right? Once a person is designated as the potential healer of another individual, that's a special schus, that's a special selection for that person. And you're a shofet, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lamed Vav and Yerodea, if you don't do it, then you're a shofet damet. Right? And don't tell me there's other doctors, but it could be that you're the designated person. And then the Sefer Chassidim, he says this as well. He says that if you were mesugal to be a doctor, right, and take care of Klal Yisrael, and you don't do it, you're shofech damet. Which means that, by the way, once you're a doctor, right, you have all those assays and los assays to save all of Klal Yisrael. Now, does that mean everyone in the world should become a doctor? No. It means that whatever your abilities are, you have the schiv to save everybody. But once you're a doctor, you're always a doctor. There's no backing out. Did you guys know that? Al Pidin, once you're a doctor, you can't like become a Rebbe. You got to stay as a doctor forever because you have a chiv. You now are mesugal to take care of the people that you're designated to take care of. So this is a very serious halacha. And it comes up in the following context. We'll end with this. It comes in the following context and is used in very interesting ways. The opening suya is about someone who's moder hana. Let's say I say that Joe is not, no hana from me to Joe. He's not getting hana. There's certain things I'm still allowed to do. I'm allowed to do something that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is lav lehanos nito, so I can do a mitzvah for him. For example, refuah. The Mishnah says I could be a rofe to him. I can't be a rofe to his behema if there's other people to do it, but I can be a rofe to him, chiddush, even if there's other doctors around. Why? Because this principle is so serious. This principle of lo mikol adam, are you zoche to get your refuah? It's you. You're the designated one. How do you become the designated one? That's a tricky thing. But what it seems to be from discussion of Moshe's Tshuva and some of the others, the Rav Vosner, is that it's designated by either the patient picks you, that for sure designates you. The patient hears, whoa, hey, here's the greatest adult GI guy in the world right over here at this table. So then you're it, right? Or whatever the particular thing is. If you're on call and you're part of the team in a hospital, you're also it, right? So once you get that status, it's able to, for sure, according to this Mishnah, designate it as a mitzvah specifically for you to be the one and not some other doctor to take care of the patient. How far does this go? So there are four shilas that come up. Let's say the following scenarios. Let's say there's somebody, a Kohen, who needs to be, it's usher for a Kohen to be with a gosis, right? A gosis is someone who's imminently going to die. So there's an isser in the Shulchan Aruch for the Kohen to be in that room. But what about this principle? Does this principle override the Isser? Or somebody who's lo'aleinu, sitting shiva, right? An avil's not allowed to go out and work. But what about if you're an avil and you're a doctor? Are you allowed to leave shiva because of lo mikol adam zocha lerafos? Or what if it's ishto nida, to take care of your wife who's a nida? Does it circumvent that Isser of the Isserim of the Archakos and the Gia during nida? And what if it's a child and a parent? You're not allowed to do any type of interventions on your parents that could cause bleeding. But what about this cloud? So all the poskim discuss, does this principle actually go that far? And does it go as far as to say the concern Rav Moshe has about putting yourself in a position where you're going to use pikuach nefesh to be doch yisurim? Does this principle go that far? So I wanted you to see some of the no's and some of the yeses. So the Rav Vosner over here on page 9, he brings in the Chasam Sofer, says, no, it doesn't. Right? He's Machmir. And Rav Vosner is Machmir also. But the Nachlas Tzvi is Mekil. What's important for us is, guess who's Mekil? Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein says at the end, that this principle is operative to be overriding Yisur. That if you are a doctor, once you become a doctor, you are now in a position, lo mikol adam zocha lerafos, that is now going to allow, you know, it's not going to answer all the world's problems. We'll see when it comes to the full picture here. But in terms of treating Yisroel, this is an avenue that's open to understand why Rav Moshe doesn't have a problem with what normally would be a principle that should obviate the possibility of me becoming a doctor altogether, right? No, because you can, once you're a doctor, you have this principle which then can supersede that concern, the concern of using Pikuach Nefesh to be Doch Yisur. It's a very light concern. It's a Durabanan, right? And the whole Takana, this whole Takana of avoiding it, you have to realize Rav Shlomo Zalman made very little of it, but for Rav Moshe, it's something that, you know, we don't want to be Masna al Shabbos. We don't want to be Vazi Shabbos. You don't want to, like, do things actively that show you don't care about Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is so unimportant to me that I'm not hesitant to put myself in a position where I'm going to just knock it off with Pikuach Nefesh. That's a very important idea. I get it. And that's what was behind the Sefer Chasidim. That was behind Mishnah Berurah. That's their concern. But there's limits to that, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman, right up front, sees limits to it. He says, you know, give me a break. This is just a nice idea. But when it comes to Tirchei Yisera or to things that are going to be real obstacles to proper treatment of people, he drew the line and he said, absolutely not. And Rav Moshe needed a little more. Rav Moshe gave this a lot more bite, the whole principle, but said, using this, barring this principle of Lo Mikol Adam, he was able to circumvent it.
Enough to get around. If you think that the tefillah problems would go all the way to cover anything, it doesn't seem like Bogey Kolodim would be able to push it back that far. But you couldn't say, you know, well, I normally couldn't become a surgeon because then I'd have to work on Shabbos, and Shabbos is clear, so I really shouldn't be doing that, so I shouldn't become a surgeon. But Bogey Kolodim, so, you know, I have, like, really amazing hands, and if I don't have surgery like that.
The Chuli Alma, that case, would be mutter.
Because
if that were really true.
Okay.
No, that's going beyond
Lo.
You have to know, that case is exceptional beyond Lo Mikol Adam. That means, if you're really Mesugal, right. Even the Chasim Sofer says this, and Rav Ozner say this, those who are against this whole thing, they say that case, they agree.
So let's say, you know, I have...
You have to make a case where everyone's normal, equal.
I have pretty normal hands.
In other words, you're as good as everyone else. Let them do it. To quote Rav Schachter, let the blank be the doctors. Go figure it out. In other words, let the non-Jews be the doctors, basically, right? Let them be the doctors. We'll be the Rabbanim.
Right, so it doesn't seem like the Rabbanim would say that only Kol Adam would allow you to become a doctor.
No, it's once you are a doctor already. Once you are a doctor already. In other words, it's an afkamina for all those cases of being on call on Shabbos, basically. In other words, once you're a doctor, Rav Moshe does not want you to be a doctor, by the way. I mean, he's not excited about you being a doctor. That's for sure. Right? But he really feels that, you know, it's more important to be learning Torah. So, but I'm sure that if he would say to you, by the way, if you become a doctor, you better watch out for being Mechal Shabbos ever, even Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. Now, here I am a doctor. Right? He's not going to say it's usher to be a doctor. They'll say you could become a doctor. But now, once you're a doctor, right, theoretically, you got to do everything in your power always to avoid being Mechal Shabbos. So, no, up to a point. Even Rav Moshe has a point where you're allowed to be on call for Jews. Rav Moshe would say, clearly, you're allowed to be on call to take care of Jews because, even though we do have this hypothetical concern that you shouldn't be, still, Lo Mikol Adam Zochah, we don't know that you're not the guy that's going to save them.
Also, that you might is talking about
non Jews.
Non Jews. He's asking, and he's saying, like, what if, you know, non Jews? He's talking the same truth about Eva.
Yeah, but it's a whole other discussion. This is what we're going to do this next week. The non Jewish is really the problem. And we're not allowed just to. I'm over time, but just food for thought. Am I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a non Jew? Migardin?
Yes.
No. Migardin, you can't. We're going to discuss actually some very interesting opinions. I'm going to get very radical next week. be more fun. I read some very interesting pieces on this. But you're not allowed Bikur HaDin. One of the conventional Rav Moshe Shita, while the reason you're allowed to be Mechal HaShabbos, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh for Jews. This means now that when you agree to take care of a Jew, a non-Jew on Shabbos, you are walking yourself into your own Pikuach Nefesh. That's a completely different child. That's a completely different sugya. That's Reish Memches in the Shulchan Aruch. That's Ein Mafligin B'Svina Pachos M'Yashlosh Yom. That's a whole other sugya, whole other problem that's going to be much more difficult to navigate to get us able to do it. Ad Kidei Kach, I will tell you now, just to give you a preview of the ending, it's going to be Mefurish Aser to work in a hospital that's 100% not Jewish. That you will not be able to do. You'll never be able to be on call in a hospital. That's the post you're going to come at. You just have to understand how that works, and what if it's not 100%, 99%. Is that good enough to allow us to do it, and how does that all work? So we'll pick it up next week. I'm sorry that the first topic here is so sort of convoluted and difficult. Most of what we're going to be doing after we finish this is going to be more directed towards case by case. So what I hope to do next week, we'll do this part about the non-Jews and hopefully figure out how we could be on call, what to do with Shomer Shabbos residencies and not Shomer Shabbos residencies. And then I think we're going to start with the ksiva issue, writing notes, orders, all that kind of thing. What's the best way to do it? How to use the computers? And there still are notes and things that are written down by doctors all the time, right? When you're getting sign outs and things like that, how do you handle that? But we'll talk about that next week.
Mind if I ask you questions and
it's late?
So,
no, not at all.
So, I mean, this seems like options.